Meow.
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 Meow. Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
This is Freedom Fiends. This is Mr. Derek J. broadcasting from Pod Bay 2 Gay Professional Prisoner Studios. We blast only the highest quality happiness waves out into the atmosphere. This surrounds the globe with good vibrations and forces bad hamsters to surrender. Michael Dean isn't with us tonight. Instead, it's me and jabbering coon cat Chandler St. Pierre. Hey, Chandler.
Worms.
Worms, man. So we talk about freedom, occasionally say that Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And, you know, we're getting a big, dumpy snowstorm here in the northeast of the United States.
Getting? Are you kidding me, man? I have like a 4-foot snowbank in my driveway. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Is a shovel even useful at that point? What do you do about all this? Do you have a plow? Does everyone in Maine have their own plow?
No, but I'll tell you, it's pretty funny to watch on the nights of the snowstorm. You go out about 9 o'clock at night, assuming it's been snowing all day, and you see all these cats driving around in their pickup trucks with plows, just waiting for somebody to fly. I mean, that's how the guy that plows my driveway, that's how I found him. I just was out shoveling one night, breaking my back, and he drove by, and I jumped out in the middle of the road, and I was like, hey,
they're out there.
You'll plow my driveway? So, it helps.
Like wild animals in Maine, the plow guys are out there. Mm-hmm. You just offer them some hot coffee or something, or you wave money at them to flag them down? Nice.
Waving money, I don't know if that might offend their delicate sensibilities.
fair enough. So, yeah, it's been storming here, and I'm broadcasting in Keene in New Hampshire, and it sure does. I mean, I'm from Philadelphia. I moved here as part of the Free State Project, a movement to get liberty activists all concentrated in one geographic area so that it's easier for Obama to drone us. I mean, so that it's easier to do activism together, and that's fun. Like, I went to a school board meeting yesterday with a bunch of activists. There were a handful, maybe like, I don't know, 15, 20 of us. And we got to vote on stuff. Isn't that exciting, Chandler?
Yeah.
Yeah, we voted for more freedom. And guess what? We lost every single one.
I was just going to say, how'd that work out for you?
It doesn't work. It's so sad. I mean, I try a variety of approaches. First of all, I mean, I wanted to ask you, like, you're so close to us. You're in Maine. You're already suffering through these snowstorms. Why haven't you moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project?
Well, you know, I got a kid, and so she's gonna finish school and, you know, be around her friends. But I have seriously considered it, you know. Even though I took out a 30-year slave loan for a home a couple years ago, I've thought about fixing up the place, selling it, and moving to New Hampshire. I might. It's not Maine, but it's still New England, and I think I'd feel comfortable. I'll tell my friends and family that I don't like to stray far from home, because if I do, I lose all my superpowers. So,
yeah,
you know.
Well, I don't like to think of these geographic arbitrary boundaries that governments give us. So, you know, like,
well,
Maine,
yeah,
New Hampshire,
it's
all
not,
the same.
Well, yeah, it's not so much like the geographic location, it is a state of mind. Yes, it kind of works. New England is a different place. I lived in Florida for a year, and it was torment, and I would never move there again. I don't know how my mom stays there. But
well, because of the statism or because of the heat?
Everything, the culture, the heat. It was not my cup of tea.
Fun fact, Chandler.
And
Florida is the number one relocation state for the Free State Project. So I think the most people who migrate away from a state, and they're like, get me out of here.
Well, isn't that where Florida Ian came from?
Yeah, Florida and a bunch of other activists who now host Free Talk Live, Mark Edge, Johnson Rice. They are all on this radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, when they host Free Talk Live together.
And I will say, though, with all this cold and snow and all this, I'm starting to see the wisdom in maybe moving farther down south. I know Ben, the bad Quaker, is traveling around in his RV solving mysteries, and he's down south a lot, and I'm sure it's great to not have to deal with all this cold yuckiness, but I don't know, man. I really like New England. It's,
Well, people can stay up here are different. I want you to stay. I want to convince you to come join us and have fun in New Hampshire, because you're so close. You might as well. You're suffering through all the same weather, and it actually would be a slight improvement for you, I think. And you don't make headlines like this in Maine. Ready for this headline that came out earlier today? Keene School District deliberative session gets contentious during discussion and amendment of petition warrant articles. I mean, yawn. Petitioned warrant articles are not fun, but it did get contentious. And all of the people that they name as being the troublemakers in the audience were Free State Project participants.
Well, of course they were. But, you know, I've held the belief that I think we can do what you cats in the Free State Project do everywhere, no matter where we live. You know,
no, you can't.
Luke and, yeah, sure
You can't concentrate activists everywhere.
Sure you can. I mean, you find like-minded people. I've talked to Lou before. You know, he's out in the Failed State Project in Detroit. And you look at what some of the people have gotten together and done there in the absence and failure of local governments, you know, with the farming ordinances and initiatives that people are taking. And I really believe that it doesn't really matter where you are. If you get a group, and it doesn't even have to be a big group, small group of like-minded individuals, and you start working together, you know, you can accomplish great things.
Well, I've got a lot of work to do if I'm going to convince you. That sounds like you've got a hard position to change your mind, because, man, you can't concentrate activists everywhere. That's my point. It's like, how many anarchist, totally free, like people who want no government, are there in the world? And then to try and change the fact that there are states, that we do live in a world with governments, and like there is a group of us who don't want that, who want an option of no governments, there's nowhere in the world for us. So, I mean, don't we have to go someplace?
But no. See, I think, and based on my limited dealings, I'm kind of like Michael. I don't really like dealing with people a lot. I don't like going out a lot. I keep to myself. And that's why I've done the activism thing, you know, gone to protests and city council meetings and all that stuff. And, you know, I started yakking on the internet years and years ago.
Yeah.
And it's all good and well. But I don't know. The activism thing just isn't so much my cup of tea anymore. I much prefer to sit in my windowed bunker and talk to the world over the radio and the internet.
All right. Well, I'm going to convince you that it's fun. Because
I'm sure it has its place. Don't get me wrong. It has its place. But I think the more I deal with people, even as limited as it is, I find that many of these people are anarchists or libertarians at heart, and they just need a little push. They just, you know, they see the flaws in government. They don't like being told what to do all the time.
Yeah, but what's a push? What are they going to do about it? That's my thing. It's like so many people, yeah, even total anarchists who are like, yeah, I really wish there was no state. But then they go and they get themselves a bank account, a new iPhone, and pay their taxes, and they just keep on supporting the state. So it's like, what about people who are willing to do something about it? Those are the kinds of people who I want to concentrate in the same geographic area, because like that could actually change things.
I also believe that there are different ways, if you want to call it activism or whatever. We've talked more than once about just the simple act of not obtaining state permission slips for activities.
Yeah, didn't we talk about burning your Social Security card once?
Yeah.
Have you done that yet?
Well, no. I don't even know where mine is to burn it, to be honest with you. And then if I get a new job, I'll probably need to go get another one.
Yeah, but, right.
You know, there are things. There are simple steps. You know, car registration, hunting licenses, all those things. And oftentimes, like, my dad is a classic example. He'll say, well, that's great that you don't believe in getting those and you don't go along with that, but
get them anyway. Yeah, well, no.
So what good is it going
to
do?
Because you could just not get them, and then you would have a community of people to support you when the state comes down and says, hey, you're supposed to get a hunting license. Now we're going to throw you in a cage. We're going to put you in jail.
Exactly.
So wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better to be surrounded by people who will be there at your court date, recording, offering you legal advice, or helping you raise money, or whatever sort of things you need? Like, it's better to be surrounded by a community. If you're going to be challenging the status quo.
So here's something to think about, right?
Yeah.
You guys are all doing your thing in Keene and around that area, which is great. I applaud it. But you're all kind of centralized, right? Like you joked earlier, it's easier to drone you.
Yeah.
What happens if we get liberty-minded folks in all sorts of different geographic locations? We decentralize that. We spread it out, and we spread that virus that is liberty.
Man, you're a dreamer.
I've been told that more than once. Hey, speaking of which, I'm really excited tonight. I don't know if the audience has noticed, but we've been talking over each other quite a bit already. And that's because we're using Fiendphone.
Hey? Huh?
Yeah, well.
You can't do that on other programs. What? We're using Fiendphone. No, Fiendphone.com. Where you can learn about
and
that.
I am super excited because I haven't done very many shows. I've been hiding away in the snow lately. And I think I'm on every Sunday night with you, though, this month.
Yeah. We've got it good.
Yeah. So, but this is the first show I've actually used Fiendphone. I had to dig out my old Windows laptop. And because everyone knows I don't want to say a Mac guy because that drives me nuts, because I'm not. But my preferred computer that I use happens to use a Macintosh operating system.
Well, welcome to the future, man, because everyone I know who uses Fiendphone doesn't go back. It's too good.
I'm loving it. I mean, we sound so good, and it's so easy to use. Like, I've been reading comments on Fiendphone's webpage, and poor Michael. The first thing I clicked on Fiendphone.com tonight, and I scrolled down, read the article, and scrolled down, and the first comment is, "Oh, you need to make this for Linux and be free." And I'm just like, "Oh my God, here we go!" You know, how many shows has he done just decrying the fact that people are railing about this?
Hey,
but
great program.
It's great.
You should make this for my Commodore 64.
Yeah,
I want to use this with my cheese grater.
We're working on it. We're working on it, man.
Worms.
It'll be available for all.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
So we're talking about teaching moments. What's that?
Yeah.
What are you talking about while you're talking
so,
to Chandler?
I forgot to do something.
What?
And we are a teaching hospital, so if you're connecting with Fiendphone, the first thing you should do is go into your control panel and your power settings and make sure that your computer is not set to go to sleep.
What? Your computer fell asleep while you were doing a radio show?
Yeah, well, if your screen is idle. See, because Fiendphone is running my Windows computer is running my mixer and Fiendphone and all that. But all my web browsing and everything else I'm doing on my other computer, my laptop is dedicated just to Fiendphone. So right as we went into the break, my screen goes blank and you cut out.
Yeah, well, that's just a good tip for life, generally, that you don't want your computer to go to sleep. I can't think of one good reason why people are like, oh, you save power, but like, really, how much power does it suck?
Well, it's not only that. I mean, you know, it has its benefits, putting your hard drive and your monitor to sleep.
Turn it off when you're ready, when you're not using it anymore. I want my computer on when it's in front of me. I don't want it falling asleep. Well, like, hey, like, I remember that used to be a big thing, you know, screensavers and computers falling asleep, but like, you'd wiggle the mouse. There's no need for that anymore, at least in my opinion. I haven't let my computer fall asleep in years.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. So if you're going to use FiendPhone and do a podcast or broadcast on the radio, make sure that your computer is set not to go to sleep.
Worms. Yeah, there was also an issue here here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we don't have the best internet. That's one strike against the Free State Project at the moment. There are some places that have nice fiber connectivity, so they've got super fast internet here in Keene. Not yet, so it's okay. We move on because it's more fun to deal with the troublesome bureaucrats together. And I want to make that point to you, Chandler, because here's a quote from one of the school board members, Susan Hay. She said, quote, "We don't need a very small minority of people in this community that do not in any way represent the will of the people telling us how to do our job." And what, I just
aren't
thought those
guys, the people.
What? Who?
Aren't you cats that are going to this meeting considered the people?
Well, so no, I like, no, she's right. Like, we don't need a very small minority of people in this community telling everyone else what to do. And that's the problem with her existing. That's the problem with her job being telling everyone what to do on behalf of others. Like, here she is pointing out the problem with her position, but she's attributing it to us. It's so weird. So, like, just to give you a frame of reference, here's another quote from a different article. It says, about 100 people out of the 16,000-plus registered voters in Keene attended the four-hour meeting in the high school auditorium. So that's in no way a representation of the people. That's, just a fraction of a percentage there, you know, where it is a very small minority of people in the community. No matter what, whoever shows up to this thing is going to be a small minority of the community telling everyone else what to do. So it's not a good idea in the first place. Like, instead, we could go with the easy idea of people take personal responsibility for their child's education. They pay for what they want, like you do at any other store. Oh, you want that bike? You buy that bike. You want that coffee? You buy that coffee. But education somehow is different. It's so frustrating to me that, like, it gets tangled up in government. And then the government feels like...
What is this education that you speak of?
Yeah, the miseducation. The anti-concentration camps called public government schools.
Indoctrination.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want... one of the problems that we have with freedom in New Hampshire is that property taxes can be super high because there's no state sales tax and... there's no income tax to the state. So they got to make up for it somehow, somewhere. So they charge a little more for gas for their roads with a gas tax. And then their property taxes are insanely high just because that's the only source of revenue for them. So how do we shrink the state? Well, we help reduce property taxes by eliminating the budgets for local schools. Because, you know... They talk about schools. I don't know if it's like this where you are. I think it's the same everywhere. But school board budgets just increase every year. It's like a rule, like gravity. Like, no, there's no resisting it.
Any budget of any government bureaucracy, whether it's school or the Pentagon, it's always increasing.
We need more money.
Yeah. Well, we mismanaged. Find it interesting. Well, I'll go into this when we come back from the market.
Yeah. Well, they mismanage everyone's money, and then they demand more for their incompetence. For the children! If you don't give us more money, you hate children!
That's not true, I have one.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
So, I don't know, man. I'm like so super excited about FiendPhone. I've been watching it. You know,
watching what? The levels, watching them bounce up and down.
Yeah, I've been watching the levels on it. You know, we've got the buff dump set to 70 milliseconds, and it's been steady. You know,
it is very pretty.
It's been between 40 and 80. You know, no dropouts, no spikes. I'm just loving it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I love it too.
It's great. It's great what Derek and Michael are doing.
Yeah, they're even working on more improvements. People can read about the future of FiendPhone, which is the future of high quality audio communications over long geo distances.
They've got a server. They bought a server and they're sending it to GCN to have a dedicated server so we can connect to that.
Worms, man! I can't wait for that.
I don't think the Comrex people are going to like us too much.
Well, or they will. Maybe they. I mean. If they can see the future, if they can see the possibilities here, they could just be like, oh, well, we did our job for a while. We can kick up our feet. Or maybe there are going to be other people in other places who need it. I don't know. Yeah, they might be unhappy.
It's so cool.
Well,
I'm just loving it. I love technology, and we're going to tease into something for a little later. I love technology. Technology like FiendPhone is great. It makes life easier. It makes communication sound so much sexier. But then there's a dark side to technology. So we definitely want to go into that.
Yeah.
Later.
Right. Good tease. Well, no, I definitely want to know about that. But yeah,
I've got more about
this boring school board meeting, right? Like, I want to talk about it. Because it actually was really fun. I unfortunately had to cut out. I went early in the morning, but then I work a job, and you know they do this on purpose, right? Like, okay, we're gonna have our school board meeting, and we're gonna pretend like it's accessible, but it's really not because it's Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. Who's showing up for this?
Yeah.
Old people, who are awake and like, you know, my son wants to go to school. I don't know. And then. The teachers and administrators who want pay raises, they're the only ones who are early on a Saturday and trek, haul their way down to the high school and show up to sit and vote for a four-hour meeting. I mean, who wants to spend the first 4 hours of their Saturday sitting in a stuffy high school deliberating over tax caps and pay raises and increases in taxes?
It's part of the scam. It's part of the scam. Like, before we went to the break, I was talking. You were mentioning budgets, right?
Yeah. And, they're like gravity.
One of the scams with budgets, any government bureaucracy, is that it is automatically set to increase every year. Automatically. Like, it's just a given that whatever, the public works, the Pentagon, the school board, it doesn't even matter. It's going to increase. So when somebody says, hey, I don't think we should increase the budget, we're all set. they go out into the media and scream, "You're cutting our budget. You don't care about defense, children, the roads." You know, it's such a scam.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened, Chandler, because there was one of the free staters who was upset with the high property taxes here in Keene and said, "You know, I don't have a kid in this school. I don't want to pay for something I'm not using. How insane is that? And I think there should be a tax cap." And he said the tax cap should be of 0.5%. In other words, you can't increase the budget more than 0.5%. Not just the budget, but raise taxes. So you can't raise taxes more than 0.5%. And they freaked out. And they said, no.
Of course they do.
They said, They called it outrageous and ridiculous. I mean, what?
Of course they do. I think I've mentioned before, I don't know if I've mentioned on the show, when I bought this house a couple of years ago, my taxes were about $1,200 a year, property taxes, which is a little steep. I have a small home, and it's nothing to write home about, right? So I went down to the local tax assessor, and I said, "Hey, look, you know, I think your assessment of my property is a little off." So begrudgingly, the tax lady got out the forms and the tax maps and all this weird stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I'm filling out this form to rate my house. And, you know, I'm being honest. I'm not being like everything's in dilapidated condition, you got to lower my taxes. But I'm like, you know, I'm going through it and I'm like average. A couple of things below average need work. I complete the form, right? She looks at it and she says to me, "Well, this may be true, but I'm not going to lower your tax." She's like the arbiter of this too, which is kind of weird.
Is she? Is she in charge of that?
I'm not going to. Yeah. One person is in charge of this whole thing. She says, nice lady. I'm not going to lower your taxes because that'll lower the property tax value of all the houses around you. Which basically means that if she lowered my taxes, she would have to lower the three neighbors I have on this road. She would have to lower their taxes, and the city would take in less tax revenue.
Oh, no.
So they're going to keep robbing me, even though, I mean, you know, from my standpoint, all taxation is theft. But even if you put on your minarchist dunce cap for a minute, she's going to keep those taxes at a relatively static level. And they keep increasing every year just so that she doesn't have to be fair and equitable and lower the tax rates of other homes in the area so that the city doesn't lose their tax revenue. And, you know, I got my mortgage got sold to JP Morgan Chase, which I've been dreading because I had my mortgage through a local bank for the last 2 years. And one of the first things they said is they said, "Hey, you're going to have to make this big payment because your escrow account for your taxes your taxes have gone up. So we need to put more in your escrow account." So once again, my taxes have gone up. And if anything, like I try to keep up on my home, you know, I try to do little improvements here and there. But, you know, with time, properties decrease in actual value. You know, they get old, things need to be replaced. If you're, I don't want to say poor because I'm not poor, but if you have very little disposable income, a lot of times those repairs and improvements don't get done. But the taxes still go up. So it's really a big scam. And I don't know about you guys out there in New Hampshire, but we have sales tax here and we have high property taxes. I mean, we're just getting hammered left and right here in Maine. So at least you guys are a little bit lucky that you don't have the sales tax and all that.
Yeah, it does help. I mean, people who like me who moved from Philadelphia and other places that have high sales tax, you are instantly richer, like 10% richer, because all the things that you buy are the actual price that's on the tag. And that was such a unique experience to finally be in a place like that.
It really is, too, because I just last week I went down to House of Blues in Boston to see Marilyn Manson. I took my kid.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. It was a great, great show. Great time. I was thoroughly impressed. And, you know, a lot of the shows
How old's your kid, by the way? I'm picturing you taking your kid to a Marilyn Manson concert.
She's 16.
People on the radio may be, like, freaking out. Yeah, what?
She's 16.
Okay, well, that's cool. You know, she's old enough for a Marilyn Manson.
Say what you will, but my kid has seen a lot more shows than I didn't go. My first concert was the Grateful Dead, and I was 18. My kid is 16, and her first show was, I believe, 2 or 3 years ago. We went to see Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie.
Whoa!
Yeah, and I've taken her to see System of a Down. I've taken her to see Muse, Nine Inch Nails.
She's got
to
be one of the youngest ones there, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. There's, I don't know, you know, it was really weird. Like, I was talking about that with a friend, going to the show. We went really early, and we were down front, whatever, you know, because I like to be right down in the thick of things. And for a while there, I was looking around, you know, and it was all kids. Like, I was talking to this kid, and he's like, yeah, I remember when I started listening to Manson, and I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, my first Manson show was like 2001, I think. And he's like, oh, yeah, I think I was 9 then. And I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, my first concert, I was 9. I saw Red Hot Chili Peppers was my first concert. Oh. I know it's not as cool as, you know, some of the others.
No, that's pretty cool, man. That's one band that I haven't seen that I would totally dig. My friends actually met all them guys. But
for a fourth grader, I felt pretty cool. And
It's
my first time also smelling cannabis. That's it's a nice freedom experience. You know,
yeah, my kid.
People might
it
think
wasn't this show. I think it was, I don't know. I don't remember what show it was, but she was like, what's that smell?
What
Dad?
Is that smell? I didn't like it. And I was like, hey, that smells like Uncle Todd's basement. Oh, wait. Now I'm putting everything together.
But one of the things, what I was leading into is, so I go to a lot of shows, usually down in Boston, because we don't get a lot here up in Maine.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I always do is I stop at the New Hampshire liquor store on the border.
Oh, you know, everyone does that. They put them right on the highways.
Yeah,
New Hampshire loves
right on
their
the
liquor
highway.
Stores.
You pull off, you make a bathroom run, because, you know, if you're coming from Maine, and I'm central Maine, so it's just to get to the liquor store. It's about an hour and a half drive anyway. So, you know, you stop off and do your bathroom run, then you go in and get your stuff, and it's tax-free. It's such a wonderful thing. I love it.
Except for me. You know, I'm banned from all New Hampshire liquor stores for life.
Why?
Because I sang in one. This is not a joke. So this is like a slight
aside.
Is
this in your movie?
Yeah, this is in my movie, Victimless Crime Spree. But you might think this is a weird path down tangent lane, but it's not. It's actually a perfect segue, because I'm holding in my hand a CD. We're talking about bands and music and how it's so liberating. I'm holding in my hands a new CD. It's still got the little plastic wrapping on it and everything. And it's called Light It Up by Warehouse One. And this just dropped a couple of days ago. Song number 3 on their album is called Victimless Crime Spree. And that is the name of my movie. They stole the movie title from me. And that's cool. I applaud that. Good for them, because the song rocks. If it sucked, I would be disappointed. But actually, it's a really good song, really good album. And I am so impressed by this band, Warehouse One. So if people are interested, they can check it out. I think it is free online. Like, you can listen to them on Spotify. But go support them and buy their album if you want, because they got Victimless Crime Spree. Yeah, it's about the fact that there's a lot of unfreedom in this world. And the only thing to do about it is to live so free that your very existence is an act of rebellion.
Yeah, I love it. That's what we need to do.
Worms. We got more music and freedom chat.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach, and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Freedom Fiends.
Hey, so I was just leaving off talking about Victimless Crime Spree, this awesome song by this awesome band, Warehouse One. Go check it out. But also, you know what else is free and awesome? My movie called Victimless Crime Spree by the same name at victimlesscrimespree.com. You can go watch it and see all the crazy things I did here in New Hampshire, breaking the law and going to jail. But I didn't hurt a single person. And
it's not really a good law then.
No, they were all bad laws that I broke. Things like openly possessing cannabis. Gasp. Yeah, I did it right in front of the cops. And I even asked him if they mind. And he said, do what you want.
Did you ask him if they want some?
No. Nope, I didn't have enough to go around. So, anyway, things like that. And things like recording the police, which we know is such a big deal now. I mean, this was back in 2011, when not everyone recorded the police with their iPhones and gadgets and chromed robot turds. But now we do. So, okay, victimlesscrimespree.com. Go check out the movie. It's free. And it's really entertaining if you like to see people disobeying authority. And taking the consequences. But so that was actually just a transition to this other thing that I want to talk about. And I promise we're going to get back to, we're going to bring this hall full circle. But I was before Judge Burke again today, and Judge Burke is sort of a star as the lead villain in Victimless Crime Spree because he's the one who sentences me to jail. But I'll tell you about that shortly, about how we I went to arraignment for a parking ticket this week. And I did not speak, and he got all mad at me, but actually didn't show it very well. He acted as my defense attorney, entered a plea of not guilty, which was really weird. And
the judge?
Yes. So I did this sort of... All right, let me just explain. So part of the fun of like this Free Stater thing is there's no clear-cut path for how to achieve freedom. Like, I want total freedom in my life. I want the state off my back. I want the government guys to leave me alone. But they won't leave me alone. So I have to confront them and play their game. And part of their game is going to court. So they gave me a parking ticket when I park in town for an expired parking meter. Big deal. The maximum fine is $5, and there's no charge to take this to court to contest it. Like in most states, they're like, oh, okay, sure, you can take your traffic ticket to court, but it's going to cost you $200 filing fees. There's nothing like that here in New Hampshire. It's free. So you go to court.
I've got to go to court soon, too.
What do you? Well, I want to hear about what you're going to do, but let me just real quick say I've done this a bunch of times. I wanted to do something different this time. So I was like, what would happen if I don't speak? I'll show up because they say if I don't show up, you know, I'll be charged with contempt of court. I could go to jail, I'll be charged with a crime. So I'm showing up, but I just won't say anything. I mean, can they compel me to speak? Can they make me say words? Apparently they can't, but they can enter words on my behalf. So the judge, you know, he asks, you know, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? And I don't say anything. There's just a beat of silence. And the prosecutor looks over like confused as all heck because he's used to me just saying not guilty. And the judge is like, all right, I'm entering a plea of not guilty on your behalf. And hey, the prosecutor's like, well, he has a court date coming up for another parking ticket. And the judge is like, is that true? Do you have another parking ticket trial coming up? Silence still. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to combine those dates. You're going to have both of your trials on the same day. All right, you're all set. And he just dismisses me, like, and I just walk away. It was totally safe. The whole thing took maybe 30 seconds to a minute. And I did it partially to see what would happen, and secondarily to encourage other people to contest their tickets. There's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, look, you don't even have to speak. You just show up. And that causes extra time, energy, and effort for them, which I think is worth doing.
Oh, yeah. Anytime I've gotten a ticket for a traffic violation, I've always, like, it's the automatic standpoint to contest. In fact,
you're not just going to give them the money? I mean, because they demanded it? What gives them the right?
I don't roll over to highwaymen, no.
I'm offended by it. I just think it's terrible, and most people just want to get it over with. Like, you know, I had to take off from work in order to be able to go. I was a little bit late coming back, and I had to dig my car out early in the morning from the snow that we suffer from. And so there's a lot of challenges to going to court.
So I would say that I'm curious, like, if you take your day off from work to go to court and you're found not guilty, why don't they reimburse you for the lost time, lost income?
That's a great point. Yeah, I don't know why they don't do that.
It'll never happen, but it would be interesting to pose that in front of a court and see what happens.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
With me, Chandler. Meow, 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 meow. Meow. Freedom Fiends. Mr. Derek J. Broadcasting.
Broadcasting.
From Pod Bay to Gay. To Gay.
It's Professional Prisoner Studios. We blast
high quality happiness waves.
Into the atmosphere.
Getting a slight echo
from the
I don't know exactly
what it is, but hopefully, yeah, there we go. Now it's eliminated. Thank you. Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. We talk about freedom, and we occasionally say that Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
Horribly.
It's horrible. Thank you, Chandler. So, Jabbering Cooncat, Chandler St. Pierre, land of Stephen King novels, and I am Derek J., the guesting from Keene in the Shire. And we're back. We were talking about lots of stuff. Music, victimless crime, the Free State Project, and all of these activists who toy with local government by using the system and not using the system. They don't like it either way. No matter what we do, they seem to not like it. So, yeah, I just wanted to end that with being like, they tried to put a cap on the taxes. The government's like, no! We always want to raise taxes. You can't reduce them ever.
Of course they do.
You can't even set a cap for how much we can increase them. We want to increase them as much as we want, whenever we want. And they act like it's just this law of nature, like this thing of like as reliable as gravity. Like you can't fight a budget increase or else you hate children and you hate education. But that's not true. So that's where we're at. And Chandler, you wanted to bring this over to the topic of technology and how technology is not always such a good thing. So go ahead with it, brother.
Well, I was reading an article today on techcrunch.com, and the article is entitled, "Today in Creepy Privacy Policies, Samsung's Eavesdropping TV." And this basically, well, here, I'll do just a brief reading of the article to give you a kind of an idea.
Okay.
As the number of connected devices, a.k.a. the Internet of Things, a.k.a. the sensor net, proliferates, so does the number of devices leaning on voice recognition technology as an interface to allow for hands-free control. Basically, that means that people are getting lazier. They can't even bother with a remote control anymore. I remember the days, as a side note, when you actually had to get up and turn the channel on the TV.
I'm going to go out there and say that remote controls were an improvement, and so is voice recognition technology.
Ah, okay, okay.
So, because my hands are sometimes busy, and I need to be able to say, okay, Google, go search for something. Oh, I probably should have said that shouldn't say that through the airwaves because it turns a bunch of people's phones on. That is one problem with voice recognition technology is you could say, okay, Google, and then people's phones start trying to listen to what you're going to say next.
Right.
But that's helpful when you're driving. Like, what if you're trying to look something up and you're driving? You can't use your phone then.
Well, why? I mean, not that I haven't done this, but why are you trying to look up stuff when you're driving?
A map. I'm trying to get somewhere. Like, find this location.
Oh, we'll get into GPS in a little bit, too.
Okay.
So,
where's this article coming from?
TechCrunch.com.
Okay.
So, last fall, for instance, Amazon revealed a connected speaker with a Siri-style assistant. And Siri is Apple's voice control program, you know, so you can talk and search stuff. So, that can perform tasks like adding items to your e-commerce shopping basket on command.
Nice.
Internet-connected smart TVs. Oh, how I loathe those.
Why? Why are you so... What are you, a Luddite?
You just chill. We'll get right into that. Internet-connected smart TVs, which let couch potatoes channel hop by not talking at... by talking at their screens rather than mashing the buttons of a physical remote control, are even more common, despite dubious utility to the user.
No, wait a minute. This is an article written at TechCrunch. This article author sounds like they hate technology. I mean, they're calling people couch potatoes just because they use a new technology?
Well, have you ever seen... Oh, what's the movie?
It's TechCrunch, man. They're supposed to like whatever comes out. Give me the newest screen. Give me the newest thing.
Right. Yes, we're supposed to like it because it makes our lives easier, right?
Well, if you want it, it does. You don't have to use it.
Well, the clear consumer electronics trajectory is for more devices with embedded ears that can hear what their owners are saying. And behind those ears, the server-side brains to data mine our conversations for advertising intelligence. So... I get the principle. I don't want to go through this whole article, right?
Yeah.
But I get the principle of advertising drives the market. It surely does. That's
good.
Why we have ads on our web browsers and everything. However, I really don't want some random party to be able to listen to my conversations while I'm watching TV.
What random party? Is it Samsung? I mean, if they're making the product, then you know who they are, right?
Maybe. But let's take, for instance, we'll kind of go off on a side note for a moment. Healthcare.gov, the wonderful new Obamacare site, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys went into this in any of the previous shows, but I can attest to this personally.
Yeah.
They're priding themselves on being this wonderful service, providing people with healthcare, and privacy is our main concern. Yeah, guess what? They're selling all your information to random advertisers.
And yeah, but that's the government, dude. That's totally different from Samsung.
It's not totally different.
Why?
The government and corporations are, in very many respects, one and the same.
Well, no. There's a huge difference between them. One is that you have to pay the government or they'll do bad things to you. And the other is that people like Samsung only can get your money if you give it to them voluntarily.
That is true.
That's a big difference.
So, well, I will never own these smart TVs. And believe me, I'm not a Luddite. I think you've seen the pictures of my studio.
I know you're not a Luddite. That's why I'm so surprised at your attitude.
Ah, well, see, I respect my privacy. I don't... And it's very strange for me because I get that there is a consumer market for people who don't know what they want and I guess don't know what they need.
What do you mean? So are you talking about advertising?
Right. So I guess advertising has its place.
Yeah.
But I know what I want. Like, I need a new hard drive for this old machine that's sitting next to me, not running at the moment. I don't need to have any third party listening into my conversations to tell me what I need.
No. But the benefit is that they're not telling you about things that you really don't need. Like, wouldn't you rather have ads? If you're going to have ads anyway, I'd rather they be for hard drives and new monitors, for example, and for microphones, okay, and audio boards than tampons.
Okay, so maybe that works, right? But What about these companies? These companies that we're talking about, companies like Google, Samsung, Facebook, all these companies, they make revenue from advertising, yes, but they also make a substantial amount of revenue from selling their data mining information to other companies. See?
Yeah.
So maybe I bought a Samsung TV and I gave implied consent that I don't mind that they turn on the hidden speaker and spy on me and advertise based on what they hear me say.
Yeah.
But I did not give an implied consent for them to sell that information to every...
Yes, you did.
No, see, I don't. Well, and see, I'm aware of this, which is why I will never own a smart TV.
Yeah, that's the solution. I mean, if you don't buy
that's
it,
that's the solution.
Yeah.
But your average person who is not quite as tech savvy sees this ad for a smart TV and all these fancy features, and they don't know what's behind it. And they go out and buy the TV, and then they're upset that their information is being sold and proliferated all over the internet.
Yeah.
See,
I understand.
It's very dubious.
So something's happening behind the scenes that most people aren't aware of, and I get that. That's nefarious, and you know, the market works on information, so customers need to be informed about the products that they're receiving and that they're using and that they're buying. And so if they're not fully aware that their new laptop or smart TV is spying on them, I see your point that that's a bad thing. But... What's the big deal that they're selling information about what sort of ads you want to see? I mean, what's the big deal about that?
Well, it's a slippery slope, though, Rand. You know, I see these smart TVs, right? And all this information collection and transfer among third parties. And all I can think of is this weird quasi-combination of 1984 and Brave New World, right? We have all these technological gadgets that supposedly make our life easier, and then we have all these pills and remedies that are sold to us to be quick fixes for all these problems in our lives. And it just, it kind of creeps me out. It makes me
paranoid.
Feel, well, you know, what's the expression? If you're not paranoid, they're not watching. I don't know. I can't remember. And of course, I'm paranoid. But I'm aware, right? And I just, maybe it's the hermit in me, the curmudgeon in me that likes to be left alone and just kind of live free and do my own thing.
Yeah.
But I don't like that amount of intrusion. And I think
so. Don't
a lot
buy
of,
it. Problem solved.
Okay, so I'm not right, but again, I go back to the slick marketing campaign of all these companies that manufacture these gadgets and devices and promote them as these life benefiting, life altering devices that'll make things so easy. And it's slick marketing, and it's oftentimes they omit certain things. Let's put it that way. They don't show the darker technological advances, right?
I hear you.
And
you know, I have a little bit of concern about this as well. There's a darker side to it because, unfortunately, there are governments. Like, governments exist, and that's a problem because, like we found out because of Edward Snowden, the NSA and other agencies are spying on us pretty much all the time through all of our different services and devices. And they do that through people like Google and Gmail and... They wouldn't be able to do that if they didn't exist, if they weren't there spying. Like, I don't mind Google collecting information about what sort of ads I want to see, but if that also means that they're listening to my every word while I'm in my car, and they're hearing private conversations, and then they turn that information over to the government, then I've got real cause for concern.
Well, and that's my point, exactly.
I want to know more.
We'll be back with more.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Meow,
meow.
Meow.
On the Freedom Fiends.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, Chandler, you hate technology, and you want us all to live in the dark ages.
Right, right. Yeah, just step into my office for a minute and see how much I hate technology.
So, yeah, what's your point, man?
Well, my point is, I have no point. No, my point is, I think that slick marketing on the part of governments and corporations has led us to
That's a dirty word. I'm going to interrupt you and just say that's just a tricky word, slick marketing. What does that mean? You just, that good marketing, you mean?
No, good marketing is different from slick marketing, okay, right? Good, slick marketing will oftentimes present the benefits of a product without presenting its potential side effects. And case in point, I was reading cracked.com today, which, you know, for it's like a Mad Magazine knockoff, they have some really cool articles on their website. And one of the articles I came across today was 6 things you've done this week with terrifying side effects. So I'm just going to read through the 6 things really quick, yeah, and then we'll go into a couple of them.
Okay.
So virtual reality, aka Google Glass and things like that, could cause hallucinations. And no, it's really not the good kind of hallucinations that you may have experienced when you were a teenager consuming certain substances. That's number 6. Number 5, and I can appreciate this one. Digital photos might be ruining your memory. And I'm going to speak to this one a little bit. Number 4 is social networks may be withering your heart. And number 3 is video games could be wrecking your impulse control. Oh, yes, they can. Number 2, which is another favorite that I want to go into, GPS has destroyed our sense of direction. And number 1, our phones are giving us anxiety. That's another one I'd like to go into. So, we're going to do number 5. Digital photos might be ruining your memory.
Yeah, how's that?
Okay, I'd like to know. In this digital age, right, we have people so dependent upon their phones for recording information and memories. Now,
yeah, like Evernote. It's a great free app that people use to remember stuff. It's like the guy who used to walk around with a pen and pad of paper, like Larry David from Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. He still walks around with a pad of paper and pen and writes stuff down.
Isn't Evernote
and puts
like
it in
the brain tree creation thing or something? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like a way to take notes and write stuff down so you can access it and remember it later instead of carrying a pad of paper with you.
Well, I still carry a pad of paper and a pen with me.
Okay, is it ruining your memory?
No, it's actually improving it.
Yeah, that's my argument.
So, digital photos, right?
Yeah.
I went down to, like I said earlier, I went down to the Marilyn Manson concert. Okay. And I had a digital camera and my cell phone.
Sweet.
And of course you want to get some memories of the show, right? You want to get some good pictures. And I snapped some really cool ones. Actually, the ones that came out blurred and weird actually were the better ones, but that's a side note.
Cool.
So I'm watching the show, right? And I'm looking all around. And I've been going to shows for almost 20 years now. So I've seen the progression of the crowds.
What do you mean?
Well, it used to be, you know, you had your rowdy, drunk people just kind of raising their fists.
Yay.
And when the slow songs came on, everyone would raise their lighters. Well, in the anti-smoking hysteria of the modern age and the progression of technology, you know what I've noticed on the ballads at rock concerts? People don't raise lighters anymore.
They hold their cell phones
and turn their flashlights on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever. I don't really care about that. That's kind of cool in a way. But I've noticed at concerts especially, everyone is so concerned, and I'm guilty of this too. I for a while there, for the first few songs, I was doing it too. Everyone is so wrapped up in recording digitally or taking pictures of the show. They're not focused on the moment, right? They're not experiencing it. So I was trying to snap a few good photos because I've always been like that. Even when I had film cameras, you know, that you had to take to film developing and 1 hour developing, whatever. But so I'm sitting there and I'm trying to snap a few pictures and it's very futile. And I'm like, well, you know, forget this. And I put the camera down and I just started dancing and getting into it. You
cool.
know, I see so many people around me just holding their digital devices up and they're watching the show through their cameras and their phones.
Why does that bother really? You, man? Leave them alone.
Hey, to each their own.
Yeah, but that's how they're enjoying it. That's them dancing.
Are they going to remember it?
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. So I want to tie up the digital photo, digital recording thing real quick. So I'm not saying that people shouldn't do that. It's not my place, you know, to each their own. But I've just noticed that in this digital age, especially when I was at that concert, it really struck me that more people are focused on consuming media through that tool and not living in the moment. And I just think they're robbing themselves. I mean, when my kid got sick of being down front, you know, because inevitably, I don't know how many people out there go to rock and metal shows, but it's been my experience, you know, I go down, I get there early, usually get down on the floor, and it's been my experience that almost always we're center stage and center right, a mosh pit will start forming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Mike, you know, me, I love it. I went to Black Label Society. I took my kid to see them on her birthday a couple of weeks ago.
What's that, a band? I don't know them. But I get the heck out of the way when the mosh pit starts forming. I'm a pansy, and I don't want
to
get hurt.
We need to get you in a mosh pit, Derek.
No.
Break in.
Nah, it's no way. Time.
You know, it's funny, though, as a side note. When I went to Black Label Society, of course, center right, the pit started forming. But it was a really good pit. You know, generally speaking, at good metal shows, people are really cool. Like, I got knocked down 3 times because I'm getting a little older and I'm not quite as aggressive as I used to be.
Come on, man.
And, you know,
put your big boy boots
on. I'm not exaggerating. The second I was down on the floor, I had a hand grabbing me and pulling me back up. That's
aww.
Good etiquette in the mosh pit.
You that know, is
people
really
see
nice.
Somebody down, they kind of make a space so no one steps on them, and they pull you back up.
Right, because it's dangerous. Man. You all want to have good fun. It's consensual beating, right? It's just a big
yeah. Well, and it's not even
brawl.
Beating. You're just kind of running around, bumping into each other. But it was really cool. I mean, it struck me because I've been in a few mosh pits where that doesn't happen, and I was like, ah, that's cool. So anyway, the last show we were at, you know, the kid got sick of it or whatever, so we stepped out and we went up towards the back of the venue, and you could still see fine, you know. And I just put the camera away, and I was like, I'm going to dance and live in the moment, and I remember, like, they played Cupid Carries a Gun, and I can remember that whole moment of Manson coming out with the cloak and singing and the green lighting and the strobe effects, and, you know.
Because it happened to you through your eyes, not through a digital screen, right?
Exactly. So, you know, to each their own. If they want to live through the digital medium, that's cool, but I just think it cripples us in some ways. So now we come to another one. GPS has destroyed our sense of direction. Again, I usually have to travel down to Boston for concerts. And back in the day, you know, I'd get on MapQuest or whatever and print out directions. And I always carried atlases in my car, right?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have smartphones in those days that had GPS. I mean, there was GPS, and they were, you know, the dashboard mount things, and they were extremely expensive and not very accurate. So I carried these around, right? So I'm driving down to Mass, and I am not a big city person. I hate driving in the big city. It intimidates me. It just makes me anxious. I don't like it. So I've got the GPS booted up, and when it works, okay, it kind of works all right. So I've got this little parking app, right, because I got to find parking.
Oh, sweet. There's an app for that?
Says, It says Fenway Shell, because the place we went is right across the street from Fenway Stadium in Boston.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for this, like, parking garage or parking lot, and I can't find it, right? And the GPS is telling me it's right there and whatever.
Oh, I hate that. It's like, you're right here. Turn here. Like, you're at your destination. You're like, where? Where is it? I don't see it anywhere.
Exactly. You know? So, and it turned out that the Fenway Shell, I stopped at a Shell gas station to ask where Fenway Shell was, and he's like, yeah, right here, man. Just park right over there and give us $20. So that was kind of funny. But if you rely on the GPS, right? So it'll say in, 750 feet, take a right on, this exit to go to 295 north or whatever. If you're so focused on that GPS and you're in the moment and, you got the traffic going and you're an out-of-stater like me and you're nervous about driving, you miss your exit and you got to go all the way around. Whereas if you had, you have no sense of direction. You're relying completely on that device. Whereas in the olden days, I used to have to plan out my trips and follow maps and kind of do that.
You have to use your brain, too. You have to, like, look at the roads. You have to see, like, north or south or east or west, and which way am I going, and,
exactly.
Where am I in relation to the rest of the world?
A little tiny screen dependent upon that and hoping that the signal is strong and is going to guide you out of there.
Yeah, I think that's the real crux of the issue, is that these devices that we hold in our pockets that tell us everything in the world sort of make us the center of the universe. And when before that, it was like you had to recognize that you are part of the universe and you are navigating around it. Exactly. It's not revolving all around you.
Well, and the other thing, and like I said, I love technology. I really do. And I actually do like the GPS feature in my phone. It has helped me. But all these fancy features of these technologies and these devices, I think they can benefit mankind and they can benefit the individual, but they can also teach you and get you in the habit of becoming much more dependent. So that
that's true.
Like if you were to give,
yeah, but there's some people. Sorry, but there's some people who just wouldn't explore places like Boston or New York City without a GPS. I mean, they were pretty much invalids before, where they were locked into their homes or locked into their rural location, and now they can explore, they can see the world.
That's cool. That's cool. But you give an 18-year-old kid, say, all right, we're going out of state and we're going to go explore this area, that's the first thing they're going to do is punch up their GPS.
Yeah, why not?
But if you try to give them a map and teach them to think and reason, it's a lot more difficult. And I think that's
Ain't nobody got time for that. Shouldn't
be lost, okay?
Nah. Because you need to keep a backup in case your battery dies or something.
Well, and yeah, that's the thing. Like, my kid's always ragging on me. She's like, because she thinks that I believe that there's going to be, like, an economic collapse or a zombie apocalypse or something. And the world, all the systems we know of are going to be gone. And who knows? That may happen. That may not happen.
I hope we don't know.
But in the event that some sort of collapse happened and we didn't have all these systems, these electronic devices and these services like Google and everything to rely upon, wouldn't you rather have these old-fashioned skills as a backup in your repertoire?
Yeah, of course. So, but who's not going to know how to read a map? Well, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Though. You open it up.
You'd be surprised, man.
Come on.
You give some kids nowadays a map and tell them to navigate, and they'll look at you like, huh? It's not telling me where to go.
It's not talking to me.
There are people that don't even know, like, you don't have a compass, so you can't tell what north or south is, and a lot of these people can't read signs.
Yeah, but Chandler, that's the kinds of people that I'm saying this gives more freedom to. It's us, people who already know how to read maps, who the danger is in using these GPSs. Because people who don't know how to read a map, they are given more freedom by this technology, right?
Yes, and that freedom is great. But again, I fall back to, what would you do if you didn't have that system available to you? Wouldn't you rather have a backup? What's the saying, hope for the best, prepare for the worst?
Yeah. Speaking of quotes, remember that one about paranoia? It's just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
That was it. That was the one I was looking for. Exactly.
So what about this other one? Virtual reality could cause hallucinations. I want to know about that. I'm done with this map talk.
Well, I don't know, man.
Maps are good and bad.
I've had plenty of hallucinations in the past, so I don't think I need to rely on virtual reality to do that for me.
Yeah, but no, this is bad hallucinations that we're talking about. This is virtual reality could cause hallucinations. That's what you said. They're right. bad kind. So what? Like, what kind? Is it just that straightforward? It's just like, oh, hey, if you use lots of virtual reality, you're going to see stuff that isn't there, that's not virtual reality and is just in your head?
I think a lot of that is there have been a lot of studies that have suggested, and I don't know if there's a lot of definitive proof that that whole virtual reality technology, the way that it affects your brain and the way your the signal processes from your senses go to your brain.
What?
It kind of reworks it and remaps it so that even when you're not using those devices, your brain kind of reacts weird.
What are you talking about?
I don't know a lot about that, so I don't want to go into too much. I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to get anything wrong.
All right.
But one of the ones I really did want to kind of tie this all up with, okay, is our phones are giving us anxiety. There's a term.
Speak for yourself, man. Who's this we? Our phones. Yeah. My phone rocks and doesn't give me anxiety. It makes my life awesome.
At times, my phone gives
you anxiety
as well. No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't know. I guess it's a 50-50. But there's a term out there called nomophobia. And it's the term of the fear of being without a mobile device.
Nomophobia. Like no more phobia.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing.
Nomophobia.
There are people out there, individuals that are of age that have had these devices and these systems all their lives, and they don't know anything different.
Yeah.
And to go without them gives them anxiety and fear. And even people that are my age that have lived without these devices for a while.
There were people who carried pocket knives their whole lives for generations, for centuries. And now if you don't have a pocket knife, don't you feel kind of naked? Or a watch? You know, there are people who walked around
I'm not
with
into
that
time, man.
18th century technology, a watch. And if they don't have that anymore, they feel naked and lost. And, you know, so what that phones being without them makes certain people feel anxious if they're used to it? So what?
Well, again, we come back to the whole idea overall of technology serving us less and making us dependent more. That's the only thing I wish people would be more wary of.
Yeah, it's a freedom issue.
Technology is a wonderful thing, and it enables us to reach out and do so many cool things, but we don't want to lose our independence in the process of embracing this technology.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
So technology, right? So government is this old technology.
It's arcane. I love that word, arcane.
That is a good word. We were talking about that in the first hour of Freedom Fiends, where we were saying, hey, I got these friends who moved to New Hampshire as part of something called the Free State Project, where they're trying to live totally free of governments and free themselves from the people who just want to control their lives. And I'm one of those people. And so we went to a school board meeting and tried to vote ourselves more freedom. That didn't work. Because voting is two wolves and a sheep voting on
lunch.
You
need to vote harder.
Well, actually, Chandler, it could have worked if we had more people. So 100 people, according to the article, were in attendance.
And I get the principle.
You get it, right?
I agree it could work.
Yeah, I mean, 100 people's not that much. So theoretically, if we had 50 activists, 51, activists show up, then we would have carried the day and we could have said, no more budget for you.
So I wonder what would happen, right, if you took those 100 activists and you all stopped paying your car registration fees, you all stopped paying your property taxes.
Many of us have.
Yeah.
I mean,
just saying.
But the reality is, a lot of people rent, so you can't avoid some of the things that government takes, like property taxes. So that aside, my point is, government is an old, smelly technology that has way outlived its usefulness, if it was ever useful at all. And similarly, we don't want to be dependent on modern technologies, like Chandler brought up, where you're at a concert and you're like, oh, this song rocks. I love this band. I've waited my whole life to see them in person, and I'm going to watch them through a 3.5-inch screen in my palm. Like, yeah. No. You know, there's a benefit to living in the moment and not being dependent on technology and being independent things like maps and visuals.
That's just it, right? So the trick is to utilize all the cool technology and the services like FiendPhone to improve our communication, to improve our way of getting our message out, to improve the quality of our lives and how we conduct our daily activities. But we also, at the same time, don't want to become dependent upon these technologies because, again, call me, I don't think of myself as a pessimist. I always think of myself as a realist, right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do in the absence of these systems and these technologies? Can you survive? Can you thrive? You know, they have made your life so much easier. I love my computer. I mean, I would have never met you. I would have never met Michael or all our Fiend fans and our Fiend friends. I probably would have never gone to Porkfest and had the most amazing experience of my life. However, in the absence of all these wonderful technologies, am I still going to be able to thrive? Am I still be able to feed myself, feed my family, keep myself warm, be happy, be free? So I don't want to become too dependent. I don't want to wake up the first thing in the morning and check my Facebook or my Twitter feed. And if I can't, because I'm out in the woods camping, I don't want to become anxious. You see what I'm saying?
That's like addiction. You want to be, if you really want to be independent, you need to be free from addiction, especially to things like technology, because it can get so easy to fall into patterns like that.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You know, some people have drugs, some people have alcohol, sex, whatever.
I think Facebook is a drug. I feel myself hitting that Facebook button, like, you know, just out of just a reaction. Like, it's almost like a drug.
Well, one of the things that I found myself doing is I would wake up in the morning and the first thing I would do when I booted up my computer was go to Facebook and read my feed. Yeah. And I stopped doing that. Now, when I get up in the morning, I try to write a little bit every morning.
That's better.
Pretentious.
Be productive.
And nonsense. Yeah. And a lot of times what I write doesn't go out to the public, but it's good. You know, it increases my sense of individual identity and my independence.
Leave us out with something cool.
So a Fiend friend of ours posted something to my wall on Facebook that I really like, and it's fog. The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over the harbor and the city on silent haunches and then moves on. And that's Carl Sandburg.
Worms.
Hey, it's been a great show.
Yeah, it really has. Thank you, Chandler. Thank you for your service. Well, I hope we've calmed the hamster in your brain tonight.
And I hope we've made you just a little more independent. Take care, everyone.
Be free.
Live it and love it.